All right, so Microsoft has had a change of heart recently when it comes to kind of open source software, if you hadn't noticed anyways. Joining us to talk all about this is Scott Hanselman, longtime blogger and podcaster on all sorts of topics from open source to 3D printing, as well as some of his work at Microsoft on .NET and Azure. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We really appreciate getting you on here. So we've got a couple of things that we thought we could talk to you about. First of all, a topic that seems to be just kind of all over the place right now is, like I said, Microsoft and its newfound friendliness to open source software. First, I guess maybe we can start with kind of explaining a little bit about what Microsoft has demonstrated as far as its openness to open source lately. It's done a few kind of cool things.
Sure, sure. So first thing, appropriate disclaimer, this is Scott Hanselman, individual person, not a spokesman of Microsoft. I'm not a marketer. I'm not an evangelist. I'm just a person who was an open source person before. And actually, I went to Microsoft 8 years ago to work on open source. I was doing open source in banking. I was doing open source in .NET as early as 1999 and 2000. I was doing open source in Java before then. And when Scott Guthrie approached me and said, hey, we're doing some amazing stuff with .NET, come and work at Microsoft, and you know, let's open source some things. This was a long time ago. People don't remember that actually the .NET runtime was released as what's called shared source to universities as early as 2001. So while it feels like everything changed like last month, it's been one of those things where you push this rock up the hill and we're just getting some traction and now it's falling down the other side. But it's been kind of 14 years in the making.
So has the PR changed a little bit? I mean, have they felt like it's more important to push this side to make this more obvious to people?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not PR, and I would have to say, knowing that the person that I work for, there's actually like a layer of Scots. Because I'm Scott Hanselman, there's Scott Hunter, and there's Scott Guthrie.
Scott's all the way down.
Scott's all the way down.
Scott's of Microsoft. Oh, yes.
And there isn't like active PR around open source. It's more just if you show up and you do stuff and you do it correctly, the open source community appreciates it. You know, if you put the .NET framework out there and you say, hey, it runs on Linux, go and see what you can do with it. And then the next thing you know, some 15-year-old girl in Denmark decides to get it running on a PlayStation 2. And it's like, wow, why'd you do that? Because it's amazing and it's open source. That's the whole point. That's exactly how it's supposed to work. So I think with the advent of the cloud, this is my opinion, that's how Microsoft can make money, right? Mm-hmm. You might have a Mac, you might have an iPhone, you know, I have an iPhone, but I can run Office 365 on it. I can talk to the Azure cloud, which might run Node.js. But if we succeed, maybe you'll use .NET and you'll have fun, and you know, maybe you'll use Python. It doesn't really matter because we've got a cloud for you to run it in. That's the general thinking.
Sure.
But I want us to, you know, promote .NET because that's the language and the world that I love.
So I would say that the, you know, the kind of view, at least what's really kind of opened my eyes, has been the news that was very recent, which is that Microsoft, you know, has its SQL Server for Linux now, which in that regard, okay, so maybe open source has been kind of a, you know, a long time pushing the rock up over the mountain and now it's falling over the other side. But kind of announcing products on the Linux side of things does feel like something very new. Why do you think that now?
Well, I think that I have always felt that reality, when it comes to software development, is a hybrid. The idea that a company would be all Microsoft all the time and exclusively Microsoft isn't the case. You know, you might run ASP.NET on a web server, and then you have Linux for caching, and you've got some other thing for a database. The reality is people mix and match. You have an iPhone, you have a PlayStation, you have a Windows machine. So why not enable people to do that? So having SQL Server on Linux means, hey, great, we can have SQL Server on people who already have Linux. But in the past, if they were on all Windows shop, the conversation stops. There's no SQL Server at all. So it's about choice, right? Mm-hmm. It's about making sure that people do what they want to do, where they want to do it. Any app, anywhere, you know, any developer.
Sure, sure. How, I mean, I have to imagine the answer to this is vary, but in your own words, how instrumental do you feel Satya Nadella has been kind of in this move? I mean, you know, it sounds like what you're saying is pre-Satya, there was already kind of a movement in this direction, but it really does feel like things have accelerated now. How instrumental is Satya to that?
Well, I can't speak to his mind, but I can say that having met with him a number of times, he's a very kind of lean back and thoughtfully listen and take in, absorb all the information from different locations and then make decisions. But it's also worth pointing out that he has a background in the cloud, right? He came up through the Azure and the cloud side of Microsoft. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking cloud first, mobile first as a person. That's how it's in his DNA to think about how are mobile people going to do this and how are they going to access the cloud. So it makes sense that he would pivot things in that direction.
So Microsoft Build is coming up in a couple of weeks, and you're mm-hmm. going to be speaking at it. What did we expect to see at Build?
We are going to see all sorts of stuff with .NET and ASP.NET. We've actually got three sessions in a row where my boss and some of my colleagues are going to talk about .NET Core, which is a little version of .NET that people can run on Linux and Mac and on Windows. And we'll talk a little bit about Visual Studio Code. So like if anyone who's listening likes using like Sublime Text or needs a great text editor, Visual Studio Code is an editor that they can use. And we're going to show people how to get started in like 10 minutes. Like in the old days, you want to use .NET? Well, let's download a 2 gigabyte ISO and then, you know, reboot. Now it's going to be 10 minutes. Let's get started. Let's do some Hello Worlds. And then can we go from Hello World and scale into the cloud and make huge applications? So I like to call it the grow-up story, right? How do I teach a 15-year-old how to do Hello World? And then a couple weeks later, they're building cloud applications that have a global scale. And that isn't just like, that's not marketing. That is totally possible to do that. I've done hackathons and we've achieved that.
Well, it's a big part of what you are actually engaged with recently. Well, you were just telling us about Marches for Makers.com, which is another kind of angle of how you are educating people that don't have a whole lot of experience, let's say, with some of these tools and empowering them to do really cool things. Tell us a little bit about Marches for Makers.
So, I get in trouble because I do a lot of stuff on the side. That's
you really do.
Job.
You've got your hands full, I have to say.
I got a whole side gig. If the Microsoft thing doesn't work out, I'll fall back on that and making arcade machines. So Marches for Makers is a partnership that I'm doing with my friend Saran Yitbarek, and she does CodeNewbies.org. So CodeNewbies is this really great community of people who are very welcoming towards getting started in software. And we think that hardware is just a great way to get people excited about making stuff. So last year, we started Marches for Makers. And all month long, we do Google Hangouts and podcasts and blog posts and interviews across both of our blogs and both of our podcasts. And we don't always succeed, but we try to have new content every single day throughout the month of March. And we've got some amazing interviews with people who built Mars rovers. And I talked with a woman who's an electrical engineer from Aero.com. And I talked to a captain at the U.S. Cyberspace Security Department who does making in his spare time. So if you're interested in getting started and, you know, making an LED blink, like you can go to Marches for Makers. We've got Google Hangouts. Oop, that's not actually plugged in. But and try it, you know. We did a thing recently where we spent an hour going from unboxing a Raspberry Pi until getting an LED to blink. And I tell you, when you have that experience, that moment when an LED blinks, it's like, I did that. I blinked the hell out of that LED.
You know what, Scott? I think the really cool thing that Marches for Makers does is reach out to such a diverse community. It's not just the kind of customary people that you would see working on a Raspberry Pi or transforming a particular product. Can you tell us a bit about the community that you're reaching out to and the people that you're targeting?
Yeah, actually a good example for the people who are running the websites in the background there and showing them, if you go to HanselMinutes.com, which is one of the podcasts that's working on Marches for Makers, and you go to the archives page, you're going to see this wall of faces. And the faces look like what I think we want America to look like. And the argument that it's hard to find people of varying backgrounds doing great work in technology, it's just not true. They're out there. You just got to go and ask them to come on your show. And you notice that this isn't 5 or 10 people. This is 500 episodes of great technical content. You see the same thing at Code Newbies. We've got people from all over the world, all ages, all classes, all colors, doing amazing stuff with technology. So we just want to showcase that and get people excited about it because, you know, when a Raspberry Pi Zero is $9, everybody should be a software engineer.
Definitely. Yeah, so, that's one thing I definitely like about that is it's not your purpose isn't focused on age or race or anything like that. It's really just solely focused on technology. So good job.
Yep, exactly. All comers. If you're doing cool stuff, then you should be celebrated.
That is really cool. Marchesformakers.com. And I have to ask you, before we let you go, you've got an awesome MAME cabinet back there. Is that something that you've instructed people on how to build?
Yep. If you go out and Google with Bing for Hanselman arcade cabinet, then you'll find a 7-part series that I did on how to make it. I actually refurbished an old cabinet. I built that whole control panel from scratch. This is done entirely from scratch right here.
Excellent.
I've got vinyl in the back. I painted the whole thing. It's really easy to make. It's about $300 and you do it in a weekend.
That's really cool. I have a kind of an ongoing project of a tabletop version of this. It's taking a little bit of extra time to do it, but I cannot wait. And I'm very envious of the full-size stand-up. It looks really good.
It is super exciting.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everyone. And it's really not hard. I mean, it's just a big box and some lights. And you see the little USB deals there? You don't know that they're USB deals. Those are the coin slots. I plugged them into the keyboard thing because I needed 5 volts to make them light up. So I'm like, where can I get 5 volts? So I shoved it into the USB port and it lit up. And I'm like, all right, that won't cause a fire.
I noticed that you're missing a rollerball, so no Marble Madness. That's okay, though. I'll forgive you.
Got to get priorities straight. This is more of a Street Fighter situation.
All right. Fair enough.
Built this from scratch. You outline one thing he doesn't have.
Hey, what can I say? Marble Madness is like one of my favorite all-time games. It's like my eyes are drawn to it.
That's the kind of people in technology that pull everyone else back. Well, actually, where's the rollerball?
The one thing you did. Yes, you're right. Man, I suck. I'm sorry.